Welcome to the Get Together.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating a future of live digital events and performances.
They're disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what the Get Together is all about.
I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
And I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. Joseph, it's March 29th. Amplify was last night.
It happened.
How do you feel?
I feel totally spent. Burnt out. Just tired.
Oh, no. Burnt out?
Yeah. Like, my brain is just, like, not working,
that's
you know?
Fair. Yeah.
It's like, I just can't even fully wrap my head around this problem that we're currently trying to deal with. It's like, I can see the bullet points that are the facts, and that's about it.
It's, I feel like I'm still operating on just like fight or flight adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still in that sort of, I haven't stopped in 3 weeks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why stop today? No, it's terrible. I was like, I'm going to have to stay home some this week because my like house is a mess. Like,
do it.
I haven't stopped my brain, like I said. So yeah, no, varying degrees of crazy. Yeah.
That's my therapist actually today. He shared. He was like, yeah, it's like a freaking marathon. And what do you do as you, Joe, lead up to running a marathon and after the marathon? I was like, oh, yeah, like you train before, you prepare, you go, you do the thing. You do it as well as you can, as best as you prepared. And then you recover.
Right.
And you build in time and space to recover. That's and we
true.
Here on March 29th, the day after Maestro's Amplify 2022, should and hopefully will soon. Be recovering.
Well, that's one of the things I always love about this podcast is even though it's very tiny, it's just a little half hour in our week, it does feel like a little nice recovery period because we get to shut Slack off. Speaking of which, I'm going to minimize mine because it's just staring at me and not necessarily have to deal with the problems solving that we are, you know, so often mired in.
What problems? I don't even know what you're talking about.
They don't
anymore.
Exist. We promised the people a give back episode, and it feels like really appropriate to start talking a little bit about, it's not so much about give back, but like how live digital and particularly one night events that are live digitally accessible can sort of help build toward goals. Are you still down for that?
I am very down for that. Are you down? Because I actually think you'll be doing quite a bit more of the driving, given your history and having been the creator of hashtag give back concert.
I'm super down. I'm actually really excited because I haven't, contrary to popular belief, maybe, I don't know, this is popular belief, not too many people have asked me about this. Isn't that wild?
Very contrary to popular belief. I hear people all the time talking about, I don't know, I got nothing.
So I'm excited to see like, yeah, what, especially now in 2022, where like people have a frame of reference to the language, what the questions are in your head as our avatar totem for people who are curious about this.
Give back. What is it? Good question.
I'm leaving. I'm out.
But actually, could we have a two-sentence, I don't know, take as many sentences as you want, primer on the history of the Give Back?
Yeah, the Give Back concert is a one-night benefit concert live in New York City and accessible to digital audiences around the world. And it exists to amplify and connect a community of artists raising their voices for survivors of violence.
Amazing. If you haven't heard about it yet, now you know a little bit more. And now we're going to dig in.
I felt like that was a test, by the way, because I was like, shit, I know I wrote a log line somewhere, you know, before COVID, and then I couldn't remember it when you asked me. So I was like, oh, I got to make this as good as my log line that I spent a lot of time writing.
Let's go compare it to the log line.
Yeah, it was close. It's not so far off.
I feel like the older I get, the more, maybe the more confident I get. I don't know if confidence is the right word. The more I'm like, I'm just going to like wing that description right now based on like my intuitive feeling of what the Give Back concert is. You know, maybe not the Give Back in my specific example, but like it coming from like a genuine place, from a depth of experience and knowledge is actually like really cool to one, be able to do, but then like, it's just like so much more real in that moment to be like, yeah, here's like a version of it I've never really told the story of just for y'all on the podcast.
It's more, it's kind of like acting, right? You learn your lines really well, but then sometimes like you have to react in the moment and just whatever happens, happens. Not that we rewrite playwrights' lines. I don't believe in that, just so we're all clear. But you know what I mean? It's a very similar concept. And I agree. It gets closer to the truth when you can't just recite.
I like it. Feels very live. Feels very alive. Yeah. Which, you know, brings us back to Give Back.
Oh, yeah. Nice work.
I was thinking quite a bit last night about the sort of one-nightedness of Give Back, of Amplify 2022. Mm-hmm. Just how much pressure that puts on that one singular point in time. Even though the experience is much bigger than that. You know, it's from, you know, when people just first learn about the existence of Maestro and into learning about Amplify and want to be part of Amplify and consuming the sort of pre-Amplify content and then what happens after the show. But so much pressure is just like distilled into that single day. And I just like, how the hell do you do?
I don't know. And I'll take the opportunity to say, because this has really been on my mind, it's a whole different paradigm when someone's paying a company, us, and some other people who are involved in this, right? And there are audience members digitally who are paying for something because there's a lot more variables. Like, that's what's so different from Give Back 1.0, right? Is that this was there wasn't that. There was pressure. Don't get me wrong. I know I've been teasing this story about Jermaine walking in and bawling one morning of a Get Back concert because he'd been up all night trying to finish videos. There was pressure, but everything was just focused on like the goal, like the, we did it right and we did it good at the end of the night was like, did we teach people something about survivors? Did we raise more money than we spent? That's it. Right. And what I was thinking about a lot last night with Amplify is that it's all those things. Plus, did we deliver on the services that we promised and that they paid for? Did we represent ourselves as a company in a way that will help us build more business in the future so that we can stay a working company, right? Like, And then you have digital audience members paying for experiences. And there's just certain aspects of digital stuff that's harder to corral and more unexpected. But also you're working with multiple teams across multiple companies that have touch points on that digital experience. And so you're not in control of all of them.
Oh, and right now, the like level of understanding about what makes something interesting digital is very different between each of those companies 100%. That have a hand in making that experience. That sounds very complicated.
It's wild. And I will take this moment to say we're so lucky to get to work with Maestra, who has been with us for a long time across the Give Back concert and now into Amplify. So we like are much closer to the same page and all willing to try to understand each other's positions on it. But it's just the pressure was like 10x yesterday. Yeah, it was. I'm like, God, I wish I could go back to Jess of like Give Back concert when it was just like less stressful.
That's interesting, because last night you were talking about you did some math for the people. They're like, you know, we were aiming at 100%, and
I did bad math.
Even if we came in at 80%, that's as good as someone else's 20%, and the math got wonky. But the idea that there, it was like a lot of value created. There was a lot of amazing work done.
Yeah,
and I personally feel like as someone who did watch it through the lens of the digital audience. I was on a computer, a laptop in the back room.
On site.
That, well, one, people were able to join for free, so that's a lot of value.
Huge.
But then even people who did join and get that upgrade, like the value of the show, the value of the experience of being there, like felt like it was worth it.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to try and like figure out what it is that the audience decides is of value.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when the ticket's free, right? Like whether or not you come back decides whether is based on whether you enjoyed yourself and you like took some value from the experience. Mm-hmm. And that just gets heightened if you pay money. You know, mm-hmm. there's a higher barrier to deciding as a ticket buyer. Yeah, that was worth that $50, that $25, mm-hmm. that $100, mm-hmm. whatever it is you're spending. We'll leave the ticket pricing models to the Spotcos of the world.
Shout out to Spotco.
But I do think that that's super interesting in getting into that, like that currency of what is valuable.
Yeah.
Because I think what was really valuable for people last night was their connection to Maestra.
Totally.
And like, not that I wanted the virtual or digital experience or even the in-person experience to be any worse. Like, it was amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be even better. But it could have, in theory, I think, been worse. Or there could have been more hiccups or mistakes or this is or that.
Yeah.
Performance is entirely missing. And people still would have been like, I'm here for Maestra. That's the value I get. That's the feeling I'm connected by. And I will continue to come back. I will continue to pay money to come join and be part of this thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really interesting about like the idea of value and how much a ticket can or should be worth and why I might choose to show up somewhere digitally and why I will hopefully come back again the next time is that like emotional connection to the thing, which becomes infinitely harder when there isn't a Maestra sitting at the core of it. It's just a show of some sort, a performance, an artist. Mm. It's either, yes, I have that emotional connection to that person, that art, or I'm like taking a chance and seeing a show based on a friend's recommendation. Yeah. And now all of a sudden the calculus is totally different.
Yep.
It's like, I paid $20. It's better be the best fucking show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they have no emotional connection going in. And how are we building that connection across the digital experience?
But that's how the puzzle gets put together, right? If you think back to Give Back, it starts with a problem, which is how do I, and I know y'all have heard this before, but like it wasn't, I have an idea to point cameras and make it interactive. It literally started from a problem, which is how do I tell the story of survivors of violence in a way that is inspiring rather than just like emotionally wrecking? How do I access more people who will give and become stewards of this? And the answer to that was live digital. And so I think like that, the next knock on from that is that's why we've seen so many one night impact focused events in this space rather than the one Clyde's on Broadway, because the calculus is so, it just happens to be a great medium for one night, you know, mm-hmm. sort of not only impact events, but I suppose like any kind of like a live podcast where you've got a great following that feels emotionally connected, right? Anything like that. So it's all just this little circle.
That's so interesting. Like, because physical space isn't the issue anymore. Like, you, through solving this problem by live streaming it out, you basically like broke down the barriers between physical distance. Mm-hmm. But having people together in time became even more important, because it wasn't necessarily the case that everyone was in physically the same mm-hmm. place.
So they had to be in time with
each
other.
So they were in time with each other, and the one-nightedness of it really like amps up that feeling of like, we're connected, we are all here together.
Absolutely.
At this one time, even though time zones are confusing. Abolish time zones.
I think it's happening, right? And what, not time zones, sorry, daylight savings time, my bad.
Oh yeah, I'm moving radically towards no time zones whatsoever. 5 o'clock is 5 o'clock is 5 o'clock.
I love it.
And after probably like 6 months of chaos and pandemonium, everyone will just like have an internal sense of what 5 o'clock means for them at any given moment.
The focus on being together in time is so interesting, because that's like one of those really smart things that I just want to be really clear I never thought about in those terms, right? But it is so true, because it feeds into some of those hierarchies of experience that we were talking about on an episode a couple episodes ago, where like that one-nightedness, being together in time, motors the urgency to actually show up, because it is ephemeral.
Yeah.
It motors the feeling of connection and being part of something that you were just talking about, and it motors the reflection part of it, right? It's harder for us all to reflect on an on-demand experience that we all saw at different times and in different contexts and in different environments, you know?
Oh, I didn't think about the environment and how like you can, in a way, reach into people's living rooms or wherever they're watching, you know, on the subway, on their phone. You can like reach in a little bit and sort of impact their environment through the screen mm-hmm. to help like create a sameness across all of those.
Yeah, totally.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. All right, well, what else do you want to know about Give Back?
I am really curious sort of how you sort of powered the whole thing with like a volunteer army. I'm thinking of like the personnel and the human beings and the fact that everyone is giving time and energy. And and how hard that is and how much like the ask really is at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But it feels like people at the same time are just like throwing themselves into it and are like, yep, I'm here. I'm here to make it happen. I'm here to get it done. No, you don't need to pay me. No, you don't have money to pay me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, at the end of the day, the first stop on that answer is artists always give their time for free, right? And I'm included in that. Like, we just do it, I feel, in a way that other people in other careers do not do. Because it's just part of the, I don't know, it's just part of what's baked in when you are an artist and are working. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but like, it's not unusual, right? And in fact, to come in and say, I might have told this story before, but in the very first the bridge concert, which was the predecessor to Give Back, you know, I formed this little committee of people to help me because I knew enough to know I needed to organize. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Ron, was that I didn't know that my friend Avery recommended. He was like, so I just need to ask you before I say yes. Is this going to be one of those benefit concerts where I come on to help and we spend all of the money we raise on like a vanity concert project? And I was like, no. And then I laid out I learned gala models from Harvard Girls and House of the Roses, and I want to combine it with a benefit concert. And of course we raised way more than we spent. So that was great. But that was the first step, right? Is being able to be in a position to say you're going to have impact by being a part of this. Mm. in a space where like Ron was not wrong. Like there are a lot of benefit concerts that are put on because people just want to give themselves a space to sing. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to try, like it was slow, right? It was just like learn, change, grow, learn, change, grow. Because it started with just Avery and I in a living room, like as Jermaine frequently tells that story. And then it started, then Jermaine was in the living room with us, right? And it was just like three of us, like trying to figure this stupid thing out. And then saying like, hey, you small group of people, will you come bartend the day of? Will you do this? Will you do this? And then when we started to do the Give Back concert, we brought Nathan on board. And Nathan started outreaching to performers. And that sort of started that piece of the community. And I think that like it took a really long time, probably till 16 or 18, I think maybe 18, for it to really have moved out beyond me, Jermaine, Avery, Nathan, for the most part, for the, you know, January to April that we would work on it. And then a bunch of one-day volunteers, including like many of the people who still work with us, like Sarah McGowan, who were instrumental, but really only had to show up one day, which mm-hmm. is pretty normal. But in 18, I knew I wanted to grow it again. And I was like, someone introduced me to an amazing producer named Kelly. And she said, I want to do this with you. And once that happened, then there was the enrolling of a bigger group of people to take on different pieces of that, like, how do we grow this? Because we know it makes impact and we know it makes change. And it gives us this chance to celebrate our talents as artists and use it to drive that change. And over 18 and 19, it got big to the point where, like, in 2019, we organized a volunteer training day. Like, we had everybody down to the Grand Street settlement and brought in Eric McGriff from CVTC, who did a violence prevention training for everyone. Cool. So that all these people who were volunteering, it was like 15 people across the whole sort of pre-production experience as well as the day of.
It's a really big team.
It was huge. Got to learn, you know, about, yeah, violence prevention. So it was just like pieces, little baby steps, all informed by an eye on growing it, growing the impact of the concert and seeing that impact happen every time, that growth, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can imagine like alumni coming back each year to be like, I can't wait to work on that concert again.
Yeah.
And like, you know, back to value in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's like my time was well spent because I helped to, you know, raise money that is actually going to CVTC, like yeah. the power that that has in my heart and in my feels.
Yeah.
But also like the community of people you get to meet and the skills you get to learn, God. All those things. There's a ton of value there.
Huge.
Even if it's not technically monetarily, yeah, defined.
Yeah. And then imagine, I haven't really ever thought about this before, but imagine the power of combining then. Like you get to be an organization who can pay a company to help, plus you organize your volunteers who very much, you know, are already entrenched in the organization, you know, like that's fire, I think.
That's really interesting.
Because I can't imagine what we could have done if we were also at the time working with like a company that was taking a big chunk of stuff, but learning and being informed from us, the group of people who are like the core of, you know, Crime Victims Treatment Center supporters and stewards.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, it almost feels like in government how there's like public-private partnerships.
Yeah, totally.
It's like volunteer-private partnerships. Yes. I don't really know what the word should be, but yeah, the idea that like, okay, yeah, there is a service and there's a whole bunch of energy. How do you sort of like bring those two things together to work most efficiently to maximize the value of that volunteer energy?
Yeah.
But then, you know, harnessed in a way through the professionals.
Yeah. And I say that, but like we literally just did that with Maestro.
Yeah. How could we or should we do this? We'll think about it some other time. Yeah.
Okay, we only have time for like a little bit more. So how about let's do one more big question. When you're thinking about live digital and being able to take inspiration or warnings from the Give Back concert, what's
yeah, one more? I know exactly where I want to go, which is, okay. Well, it's the technology. But I actually think I want to modify. It's the humans plus the technology. Because mm-hmm. like technology is very both fickle, facile, and flexible.
Whoa, that's so good.
That was fun. And I mean all three of those really explicitly.
Fickle, facile, and flexible.
That like it needs a human touch to make it work. Especially in a world like the Give Back concept yeah. where you're trying to make up new things. And you're like, I don't know how to do this. Let's just, what if we connect this to this and we power it by that and we smash that together and yeah. let's see what happens. Right. And the technology might work, might not, fickle. But like it needs to, and it is inherently flexible. And like the human being that is sort of trying to make it work, because yeah. it's just a machine at the end of the day, like has to be creative, has to be invested, has to want to try to make it work.
Yeah.
So I come back to that intersection of like the technology and the goals that you have with it, but like also the people and making that thing happen. How the heck? What? Huh?
Friends, it is time to unveil the big secret, which is we are literally only here as a company because of how incredible the Green Space staff is. The answer to your question is I was like a big, stupid, grandiose CEO before I was ever a CEO and was like, or a director, both, and was like, I want a broadcast. I want Google Hangouts to be, well, let's figure out how to make it the remote sort of thing so that we can have people live. The end. And then they fucking figured, I think now, as we have our hands in all this technology, Jesus Christ, I asked them to do crazy shit and I never had any idea how hard it was.
Have you sent them a thank you note yet?
I thank David every time I talk to him, who is the tech director down at WNYC. No, it's incredible. And so like the answer to your question is it's because this is interesting because I didn't have to worry about it. Mm. I didn't have to know how it worked. And I had an incredible partner in the WNYC team that was equally as curious and interested. And so it allowed me sort of to be freed up to just dream what we could make that would serve our goals. And then, they were the private partner we were just talking about. Cause we paid it's not like Green Space did this for free, mm-hmm. but they happened to be really good and really curious and really game to try things. And I just didn't have to worry about it the way we do now.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Cause like someone has to invent the future. Like,
yeah.
Like things don't just, you know, oops, I accidentally happened into this thing really working well. It's yeah. the grunt work of like, let's connect all the wires and see yeah. what the heck happens.
Yeah. I heard Jay from Le Poisson Rouge say at some point yesterday when we were trying a second or third solution for something, he said to his guy, Nelson, yeah, at this point you basically have to be an IT guy because this is lighting and video people, you know? And I was like, he's so right.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Nelson and Jay.
Oh man.
At Le Poisson Rouge.
Amazing.
They're awesome. They're very smart. They had great attitudes when we kept throwing bullshit in their laps.
Best venue team we've worked with in New York City. Besides for WNYC.
But that is interesting. I hadn't actually connected the dots between WNYC and Le Poisson Rouge, which yesterday, like, yeah, Nelson jumped in the weeds and was like, yeah, fuck it, let's see what's happening.
Yeah.
Let's load up some things. Let's update some firmware. Let's just try and make it work.
And it's the same thing for Waldorf too, right? Like that was some crazy shit we pulled, and we were able to do it because I was able to dream, and G and Jonathan, our tech directors on that, like took care of the technology. They didn't say, I didn't, you know what I mean? Like they figured out how to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, no offense, you didn't have the words to be like, I want the audio routed in this specific way so that we don't get that specific reverb. You're just like, can we just have the people on the screen and the audience to be able to hear the things?
Very simple, actually. People think I'm so complicated. I'm like, no, I just want people on a screen to talk to each other. It's a curious problem, though, right? Like, because, like, what happens to us as a company? How do we get ourselves back there? You know what I mean? Like, I just said we did a show where we recently were able to do that. But I feel like we become a different company when we have to worry, when we are in the weeds of all that technology, the IT, you know, part of it, because we aren't technologists in that way by trade. Mm-hmm. So we aren't skilled enough in our craft to fly that loose, you know, and just try to figure things out.
Yeah, it almost feels like professional development or back to like volunteer work. Like
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just go throw ourselves at some projects and see what happens. I know I'm thinking about like Anand's show coming up, mm-hmm. How to Repair a Mechanical Heart. And just like, that seems fun what they're doing. Let's go just join them and do some things with them.
Yeah, totally.
And like maybe G and Jonathan come along with exactly. some capacity or at least answer a few of our questions. Just to like be in the weeds in the same way that you were back at the Give Back days.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just grind this out and figure it out.
Figure it out. I was saying actually to Greg, this is actually pretty similar, but Greg Camp, our executive producer on Amplify, I was remarking that Greg, our camera operator yesterday, who just came in for the night as a handheld camera operator, it was the exact same thing, right? Like I, as a director, know that I want from a handheld in a live show that's going to be digitally broadcast. I want it to feel a little rock and roll. I want it to feel intimate, and I want it to feel a little less slick than the stationary cameras because that's sort of the hallmark of the internet. And I don't want to have to know how to tell someone how to do that. And Greg, camera operator Greg, was fucking awesome. Literally had that. I spoke to him for 5 minutes. I was like, feel free to get in front of people. Don't stay there like more than, you know, 30 seconds. Don't kill their whole view forever, but absolutely get in their way. It's part of the whole thing, you know, and these are what I just told you is exactly what I want just the feel to be. And he fucking nailed it. And I don't know how the fuck he did that. And I don't know how to tell him, you
know?
Rock
and roll. Oh, that's all you said. Just Greg, I want some fucking rock and roll, man.
And then he said, well, people's definitions of rock and roll are different. That's what he really said to me.
Greg, you nerd.
I really appreciated that.
That is really good.
He was not wrong.
Yeah, maybe we should ask Greg. Greg, how did you know what to do? And he'll come at us like, well, I was at this concert in the 80s. I have no idea how old Greg is.
Rude. Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to diving into more of the Give Back concert across a couple of episodes. Just like we did a little overview today, but I think we'll pick little pieces and parts that we think are helpful.
Yeah, let's do it. I am very interested to go deeper on all three topics that we talked about today. The sort of volunteer networking, the technical like stuff, which maybe we need to get the green space on.
Yeah.
But to go deeper on that would be super fun.
So David can actually tell us how crazy I made his life.
I do want to hear that, especially with like, you know, 10 years of sort of looking back, and he'll be like, wasn't that bad?
Oh yeah, that's true. I hope so. I hope that's true. Oh, well, that was super fun. Thank you for listening and being a part of the get together.
The goal of this podcast is to bring people together and to have these important conversations. So share this with someone who cares about making an impact, learning about audio routing.
That Venn diagram is small.
Truth, and we found most of them already.
That's true. But just in case we don't know one of them, share this podcast with them. I'm Jess.
And I'm Joe.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.